This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Okay, here goes. Sally sells seashells by the seashore. Sally sells seashells by the seashore. Sally sells seashells by the seashore. From Sally and her shells to Peter and his pickled peppers, tongue twisters have a long history of tripping up even the most professional of broadcasters. But these phrases offer more than simple entertainment. A team of MIT scientists recently released research on what tongue twisters reveal about human speech patterns and brain processes. Joining us is a member of that team, Stephanie Shattuck-Huffnagel, principal research scientist with MIT's Speech Communication Group. Stephanie, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you.
Before we dig into the science, I understand that your research led you to develop a new tongue twister, one that many people have found very difficult to say. You want to take a crack at it?
I'm going to say it in a very particular way, which is going to help me get it out. I'm going to do something called give it a prosody, which is an intonation. Pad kit, poured curd, pulled cod. Pad kit, poured curd, pulled cod. Pad kit, poured curd, pulled cod. Almost got there.
Pad kid, poured curd, pulled cod. That's
very
really
good.
Something. Well, I did it a little slowly. My colleagues here at Word of Mouth, however, attempted it. So can you just put on your research cap while they do it and tell me what you hear?
Pad kid, poured curd, pulled cod. Pad kid, poured curd, pulled cod. Pad kid, poured curd, pulled cod. Pad kid, poured curd, pulled cod.
Pad kid, poured curd, pulled. Pad kid, poured curd, pulled cod. Pad kid, poured cod.
Pad kid poured curd pulled cod. Pad kid poured curd pulled cod. Pad kid poured curd pulled cod.
From what I understand of your research, there are two different types of tongue twisters. What kind did we just hear, and can you give us an example of each?
What you just heard and what the speakers just tried to produce was what we call a word list. So there are six monosyllabic words, and they come along in a list-like fashion, and no one would ever mistake them for a sentence. So if instead of pad, kid, poured, curd, pulled, cod, I said top, cop, top, cop, top, cop, top, cop, in that case, instead of having a different rhyme for each of them, we had the same rhyme for each of them. But they're both word list tongue twisters. They don't have sentence structure. In contrast, I can put those same words into a sentence, and I can say something like, the top cop saw a cop top. So the big difference that we were studying was the difference between a word list without sentence structure and a sentence that does have sentence structure, and also what we call prosodic structure, so that there is intonation, your pitch is going up and down, some words are stronger than others, and you have boundaries, phrase boundaries, sometimes in the middle of the sentence.
So with these different types of tongue twisters, they would result in different types of speech errors? Am I understanding?
That was our finding, yes. And the way that went was roughly like this. The word list, like top, cop, top, cop, top, cop, they elicit quite a few more errors in which you're trying to say two sounds at the same time at the beginning of the word. So it sort of sounds like this. Top, cop, top, top, cop, 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 cop. And the sentences elicited some of those kinds of errors, but more predominantly errors in which a single sound was replaced by another single sound. So there was no double onset. So, for example, if you were trying to say the top cop, you might say instead the cop top, so the T and the K change places. So that tells us that there are two places where the speech planning apparatus can fall apart, and that one of them is much more strongly influenced by sentences, and the other is much more strongly influenced when you don't have that sentence structure.
So once you understand these two types of errors, where do you go from there? Is this about maybe somebody who has had a stroke and may be rehabilitating their voice? I'm trying to understand the practical applications.
Yes. The next thing that we want to do is do some more experiments with more detailed different tongue twisters in order to find out the answer to the following question. Does it matter if you are saying the words in what we call a periodic way, so that each one is coming along at the same beat, if you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So when you say top, cop, top, cop, top, cop, each one is coming along at the same time interval. But when you say the top cop saw a cop top, they're not coming along at equal intervals. So we would like to know whether that periodic rhythm makes a difference. It turns out that quite a few kinds of speech disability are helped when the speaker is either speaking in this periodic way or is moving some other part of their body or hearing something coming in to their ears that is periodic in this regular rhythmic way. So there's a therapy called melodic intonation therapy that's used with speakers who have production aphasia. I think that was what you were talking about, where you have either an injury, a penetrating injury, or a stroke that does damage to the speech controlling parts of your brain. And melodic intonation therapy has a number of aspects, but one of its aspects is that you take your non-dominant hand, the one that is still operating fine, and you use it to beat out a periodic rhythm on the table or in the air. And for some speakers with production aphasia, this appears to help the production of speech. People who stutter find that they can sing when they're singing in a rhythmic output. I've also read some papers in which it was described that if you wear glasses with a little metronome in the earpiece for a while, a stutterer who is listening to a regular metronome, some stutterers find it easier to produce speech. So we will be looking for some kind of a relationship between the ease of producing tongue twisters when you are doing periodic versus non-periodic productions, and some way of creating effective therapies, interventions for people who are having difficulty talking.
Is this the same in other languages? I know, you know, in French, Italian, all sorts of other languages, they have different kinds of tongue twisters. Is it the same, that idea of repeating patterns or one word stressed over another?
We, of course, would like to know, and I don't think we're really in the infancy of this line of work. There are, of course, as you say, many compilations of tongue twisters in other languages, but I don't believe there's been much work actually looking to see what happens with the error patterns with periodic versus non-periodic stimuli, and that is what's going to help us understand the way speech is produced in different languages in ways that might help us develop therapies for those different languages. My personal hope is that as we begin to get better models of how periodicity either does or doesn't play a role in speech production planning, we will be able to teach people more easily to speak a second language. And wouldn't that be useful as our planet shrinks?
Stephanie Shattuck-Hufnagel, thank you very much for joining us today.
You're welcome, Virginia.
Stephanie Shattuck-Hufnagel, Principal Research Scientist with MIT's Speech Communication Group. If you'd like to take a crack at her tricky tongue twister, you can find more at wordofmouthradio.org. And if you think you can beat MIT's tongue twister, share yours at our Facebook page, Word of Mouth Radio.
If Peter Piper you pronounce were these, then twist your tongue around these. Moses supposes his toes are roses, but Moses supposes erroneously. For Moses, he knows his toes ain't roses, and Moses supposes his toes to be.
That's tongue twister, and it seems so easy till the word gets sprung. If you insist you want to try a list, then step up, mister, and twist your tongue.